takes to pride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Good evening. This is your host, Dr. June Knight. I am so excited to be with you tonight. Listen, we are gearing up hot and heavy for the Nashville Authors and Artists Expo on October the 17th. We are interviewing authors and artists so that you can be prepared when you come to the event to meet these people. Today, we are very honored to have an author today, Dr. Hunter. And listen, I'm going to read her bio so that you can understand a little bit about her before she comes on the line with us. Dr. Hunter is ordained for service by two Christian organizations, Holiness Science and Liberated Catholic. The major components of her service include preaching at diverse Christian churches and events, teaching specialized Bible studies for persons with special needs, prayer and counseling, and foreign missionary work to Haiti 3 times and to Belize 1. She was educated by the Holy Spirit, Life, and the following institutions of higher learning: the University of Tennessee at Nashville, Tennessee State University, Emmanuel Bible College, Sacred Heart Theological, and United Theological. Alice Lane is a retired adult education teacher and youth program manager who successfully, listen to this, Bride, this is awesome, who successfully redesigned the Nashville Urban League, now Urban League of Middle Tennessee, adult education program, increasing the number of GED graduates from 6 to 32 within the first 12 months, earning recognition by the federal government as a Tennessee best practice. How awesome is that? Dr. Hunter served under contract with UT Center for Literary Studies as an adult education teacher support. While employed by the Urban League, Dr. Hunter designed, developed, executed, and managed an internship and study program. Nashville Youth Training and Education Corp., Nashville YTEC, at Maplewood Comprehensive High School to serve students at risk for dropping out. She collaborated with Maplewood's principal and design staff to secure internships with government, including the Davidson County Sheriff's Department. Students also had internships with cultural organizations and numerous local businesses. Hold on just a moment, I lost my place. Hold on just a moment. Okay. She has enjoyed several other careers prior. Certified in instructional and leadership techniques by Friesen, I hope I'm saying that right, K & Associates, FKA, and the Whitney Young Leadership Institute, and armed with information on research-based learning styles, she has used her skills to serve the community through various projects over the years. A few of her numerous activities with help from family and friends include, listen to this, include, I lost my place again, let's see. Well, Doctor, I'm just going to let you say it. Where has it been?
Well, We provided a series of free poetry workshops at the Pruitt Library in the Tony Studegum, J.C. Napier area for 6 weeks over a summer. We provided free math tutoring at the Juvenile Court Office in Tony Studegum Housing Project. And our latest arts project has been Happy, Healthy, Creative Whole Me, which serves senior citizens and persons with special needs at their residential facilities. And that was funded through the Nashville Arts Commission.
Yes, now listen to this. I've got to say this last paragraph because this is awesome. Dr. Hunter's freelance articles and photographs have been published in the Tennessean and the Nashville Pride. She self-published and sold a poetry chapbook, Reflections of Our Lives. Her poem, Rain for Haiti, published in Tracing the Infinite by the International Library of Poetry, received the Editor's Choice Award from the International Library of Poetry. Alicine has been honored locally by the Office of Mayor Bill Purcell for artistic contributions to the community through poetry. Also awarded with the group Relative for service to the artistic community of Nashville as a supporter of literature and poetry. That is an amazing resume, amazing bio.
Praise God.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. Now listen, Dr. Hunter, we know that every person has a story. We know that God took you from somewhere and brought you to where he's at now. Would you mind sharing with the bride and telling us who you are? What happened to you?
Well, as a young woman and a child and growing up, I was the oldest of nine children. Therefore, I was the automatic caregiver, planner, protector, and all of the above. I had siblings under me that I had to take care of. We were raised for the most part in the J.C. Napier area and then later on down in what is called Trimble Bottom. There's a creek that runs through there, and when we moved down there, I think our parents knew, my mother especially, I know she knew that there had been floods down there every spring. Well, it was sprung on us the first spring we were there, and I found myself wading through this water to get to higher ground because it flooded the apartment where we lived. And the next day, going to the Red Cross with a friend of mine, we were then in high school, and requesting help. Everything we had was ruined, including the food in the refrigerator. So struggle has been no stranger to me, starting as a child. I have two children of my own. I've been married. And it has not been easy. But God has always been there, always, even through physical illness. I was hospitalized the year that I retired and thought, oh, wow, I'm getting ready to relax and enjoy myself. I was hospitalized with heart failure for a week. And a little later, I ended up with a house fire. So things have been really rocky.
Well, what do you mean you ended up in a house fire? What do you mean?
My house.
Oh, wow.
Caught fire, yes. And so, and it wasn't anything that we feel. They thought it was an electrical issue.
Oh, and was so, it when you was younger?
No, that's since I've been retired.
Oh, man.
Yes, since I've been retired, of course, I've been working on some of my projects, but as far as program for the seniors that we did that lasted about a month this past spring. But I've also started a part-time job. I teach out at a women's prison.
Well, let me ask you this. obviously your life work has been to help your community and to speak to people through poetry, through your writings. What happened in you as a child? I mean, when did you discover that you had a love for poetry?
I've always liked to write. When I was a child, just write my thoughts, write about nature. And
yeah.
If you don't mind, I'd like to share one poem with
oh,
you.
Oh, yes, please.
When the time comes, the poem Rain for Haiti. I brought that book because it expresses my feelings about my first missionary trip.
Oh.
So I've always liked to write.
Yeah.
And I've always liked to read poetry. Shakespeare, Edgar Allan Poe, Yeats, Yeats, Longfellow, you name it, I liked it. Nikki Giovanni, you know,
yeah.
Maya Angelou. So I had a variety of interests when it came to literature. And so I called them my silent mentors. They were silent in that they never met me or talked to me, but they were my mentors in that I really was inspired by their work.
Yeah. Now, what would you say to somebody that's listening to the broadcast that loves writing poetry? Like my son, he lives in Ohio. Ever since he was a teenager, he always wrote me the prettiest poems, and even sometimes for birthdays. He'll know that's what I like, so he'll write me a pretty poem. Since you're an established writer, and it has been recognized through awards and things. If you have listeners that enjoy writing poetry, how would you talk to them to tell them how to express their poetry?
Well, you know, poetic expression, even though there are forms and types of poetry, you have your haiku, your quatrains, your couplets, and all these other forms, poetry can also take a freestyle of its own. You know, it's one of those organic genres that is not just limited to certain meters and certain types of rhythms.
Right.
And so poetry, in my mind, follows the rhythm of life. It follows the heartbeat within us, both spiritually as well as physically.
Mm.
And so to write from your heart, write what you know, write what you feel something deeply for. That's what I would say. I remember reading and hearing Doris Saunders, her little book, Clover, that became a number one bestseller. And she talked about how she was rejected by publishers because even though she was excellent technically, her work sounded contrived, and she shared that during an interview with Mr. Siegenthaler. And so they told her to write what she felt something deeply about, write what she loved,
right,
write what she knew. And so I would advise anybody who writes anything to do that. Write about what you really care about because it shows in the writing. It pulls out the passion. And what comes from the heart reaches the heart.
Right.
And that's all I would suggest. I would suggest that they would read other poetry so that they can, you know, hear and feel the rhythms and the expressions of other people and hear their hearts. But as far as mimicking anybody in particular or restricting yourself to one format, I would never advise anybody to do anything like that.
Right. So you're just telling them be authentic and let it come out what's on the inside.
Right. Be inspired. And that word means nothing more but be inspirited.
Yeah.
Be inspirited.
Because poems always, they don't have to rhyme, correct? They don't
oh,
have
no.
to. Yeah.
No, they don't have to rhyme.
Yeah.
Many of the best ones don't.
Hmm. Well, we would love to hear your famous Haiti poem.
the title of it is Rain for Haiti. And I wrote it after my first missionary trip to Haiti. And if I could explain just for a moment, they had been on rainfall for about 3 years when I wrote this poem and it was published. Can you still hear me?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, because my phone is bleeping and I didn't want you to believe it. So the title of it is Rain for Haiti. If I could shed enough tears, settle the dust, and cool the tempers, I would. But I have no tears. My grief leaves me dry like the chalk-white Haitian soil. So I pray for the promised latter rain, rain that would have fallen by now had there been a different declaration. Living waters draw prayed for peace, like millions of tiny magnets pulling souls from death to life. If I could cry, salt from my tears would heal their wounds and wash their dusty, weary feet. But I have no tears, so I pray for rain. And that's it.
Wow, I'm sitting over here like, oh, I love what you said about the latter rain.
Yeah.
And then, like, if I could cry for you, I would. But I just pray.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
And the reason I said that, because there had been some sociopolitical issues that year as well. And I wanted to address those. And I prefer, I've been standing this up, but I read it in a public venue, and there was a man there from Haiti, and he embraced me and cried. And to me, that was God saying, okay, this is one thing that came from the heart, therefore it reached the heart, and a heart that knew, that lived it.
Well, you said in your bio that you've been to Haiti twice more since then.
Yes, yes. We went twice more, and of course, after, I know everybody knew about it in the news, but even before the earthquake, there was a devastating mudslide that happened there. And it was so devastating that it completely covered the road that we used to take to go to our clinic where we served. But that was after my third time being there.
Yeah.
But there were many people who lost their lives. The last time I counted, it had been 5,000 plus.
Aww.
And that was from the mudslide, because once the rains came, they were torrential rains, you know. And there had been so much deforestation, because they have wonderful mahogany wood there. And they had deforested pretty much the whole side of a mountain. So there were no tree roots to hold back the mud. There was nothing to absorb the rain, and that's why that devastating mudslide happened.
Man.
And, of course, a few years after that came the earthquake.
Yeah. I have some missionary friends that still go over there and preach, and I know they love it every time they go to Haiti.
Yeah.
They said they're just so hungry there.
And the people have, I used to watch old ladies in the morning, older ladies, carry grills and meat and live animals to sell during the day.
What?
Yes. And they would carry all that stuff and set it up on the sides of the road. They had a designated area where they would be. And they would even cook on those grills and sell lunch to the people who were taking their lunch break.
Man.
The experiences were awesome. Elementary school kids. And that's why my next drive is going to have to be towards something dealing with elementary education, because elementary school kids there may not have even had decent shoes or anything.
Yeah.
But guess what? They could speak some English, some Spanish, some proper French, and their traditional Creole. And these kids were in elementary school, and they weren't old kids either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that was just such a joy to me to see that happening. Because what it does, it drives home that you don't have to have things in order to develop inside, to develop yourself, to absorb what you can learn.
Right.
You don't have to have a lot of stuff.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick little commercial break, Dr. Hunter, and when we come back, we are going to allow you to release whatever God has for the bride today. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is sold. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. Is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, God. Heavenly Father, thank you. God uses the light to complete the perfect plan. I have a question for you. Have you ever felt that your life is going in a vicious cycle? Life is grand, your keys to make wrong decisions, your life is crumbling before your eyes. Then you repeat this whole heart. Bad, but just things are going well, another slip up, and the cycle starts again. During the time of the judges, you mentioned initially, you know, cycle after cycle of obedience, restoration, only to start the cycle again by disobeying God. It was during the time of punishment that God would allow Israel's enemies to oppress them. But as repentance opened the door for restoration, the victory would once again be given to them. The message today is coming from the book of Judges. We begin with chapter 4, verses 6 through 9, and I'm going to read those very quickly. They're coming from the King James Version. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidus, judged Israel at that time. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali. And she said unto him, hath not the Lord of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor and take to feed 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I'll go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, see, what I see in this story is that Barak has been set up to see the least likely complete the plan of God for Israel at that time. So here we are. Picture this. We're at Mount Tabor in the Kishon Valley in the heat of the battle between Barak and Sisera. Barak has 10,000 men, and Sisera has 900 iron chariots plus a host of other soldiers. These enemies are up close and personal as Barak's troops are fighting fiercely, putting all of Sisera's forces to the sword. The smoke clears. Bodies and blood are everywhere. No man in Sisera's army survives. Sisera, the commander, was not going to go down with his troops. He fled in his prized iron chariot. But that same thing that caused him pride now hindered his progress. He leapt from his iron chariot and fled on foot, and he found himself at Habor, the Kenite's tent. In verse 11 of chapter 4, the Bible suddenly shifts focus from what happened with Barak and the troops to let us know that Habor had moved away from the other Kenites to a place right by Kadesh. You see how God sets things up? In other words, Tabor's relocation positioned his wife, Jael, to play her necessary role in the outcome of this critical battle. Your season of separation is often for preparation. Don't despise it. Get focused and get in position for your purpose.
Amen. That is good preaching.
Jael invites Sisera to enter her tent for refreshment, refuge, and rest. You see, Jael was raised to be a subservient to male. That was her culture. But as Sisera rested, Jael's subservience shifted. Just like a swift, sure-footed mountain goat, Jael acted quickly and with deadly force. She didn't have time to ask anyone's opinion. Jael couldn't poll the audience or phone a friend. There was no time to shop for a traditional weapon of warfare. When the prompting came, she used what she already had at her disposal, a hammer and an iron tent spike. God can use you right where you are with what you have. Your current situation is not a problem for God. He can use you in spite of your stuff and bless you in the middle of your mess if you are willing to turn your life over to him. The God I serve can take care of anyone in the world who is seen as nothing and raise that person to the point of being spoken of throughout the ages for his glory. This foreign nomadic woman, she wasn't an Israelite. She was the least likely to capture Sisera and help deliver Israel from a powerful enemy. But God used her to do just that. So by the time Barak and his army caught up with Sisera, he had not only been given into the hands of a woman, he had met his fate at the hands of the least likely woman, Jael. That day, God gave the Israelites favor to destroy the king of the Canaanites, Jabez, for the captain of his army had fallen into the hand of a woman. By the time we arrive at Judges 5, we hear the song of praise to God, Deborah and Barak sang, recounting the battle to the people of Israel. In verse 24, they sang, blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Haber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the city. I declare to you this day by the Holy Spirit that if you accept the salvation that can only come through Jesus Christ, you will begin to see a change over you that is undeniable. As you learn to repent and obey the word of God, you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And once you attach yourself to the love of God, nothing can separate you from that love. It is only by his grace working in our lives that we gain our worth. Our flesh never desires to do good work, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So be encouraged. When you feel like the least likely to be used by God, your pride has already been shattered and you're already humble. You have no preconceived notions about your own greatness. Therefore, you are the very person God can use up and use. He can raise you up. He can use you up. You are the one that others will someday call blessed, the most blessed woman in her community, the most blessed woman in her organization, the most blessed woman in the mission, the most blessed woman in her church, the most blessed woman in the city, the most blessed woman in the field, blessed going and blessed coming, least likely, but used mightily by God, just as Jesus, who was the son of a carpenter, seemed least likely to be anything but the son of a carpenter. And they had no idea that not only was he the son of man, but he was the son of God. And he was the one sent to deliver them from the sins that had kept them chained for so many, 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 many years. And he was there to usher in the kingdom of God, putting it at their hand, bringing with him blessings. The Bible says that he gave gifts to men, the gifts of discernment, the gifts through the Holy Spirit. He gave them faith. He gave them the ability to heal. He gave them all types of spiritual and wonderful gifts so that they can serve the people that he had assigned them to go out and serve, so that they could preach the way he had assigned them and commissioned them to go out into all the world and to spread the gospel. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, the least likely, you are the midget standing tall and the giants about beside you are about to fall. So please
come on now.
No matter what it looks like, stand. Even when you feel that you're in your last breath, stand. Because no matter how least likely you may seem to others, God can use you greatly to perform his perfect plan, just like he did Jael. In the name of Jesus, I do say thank you. Amen.
Wow. That is an awesome, powerful word, sister. Let me tell you something that really got to me. When you said, our flesh never desires to do good works.
That's right.
Isn't that the truth?
That is the truth.
When I was in the world, because today I'm greatly persecuted by a lot of people because I have a master's degree, I'm very well educated, and now I've got my doctorate and I don't have a job. I'm just serving the Lord 24/7. So
that's
they persecute me about it, and God told me 2 years ago, he said, you use what you learned in school and you help my people. I'm your boss. So
all right.
I greatly persecuted because of it. So anyways, when you said that, boy, that struck my heart big time. Because my flesh, let me tell you what I used to do because I wanted control of my life. I used to smoke cigarettes. I love smoking them things. My flesh. My flesh wanted to go get a drink at the bar. My flesh wanted to get attention from men.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Ma'am.
That's your flesh. Your
yes.
flesh is selfish.
Yes.
But God, hallelujah, when God sets us free, He gives us visions and He gives us purpose.
Yes,
and
He does.
And most of the time, it's to help other people.
Yes.
Like you. You're a classic example. You have spent your life working in the community and helping other people. That is God-driven. I don't see how any of that could be a selfish motive on your part. Hello.
It can't, because people keep asking me, with all the schooling you've gone through, with all the work you've done, where's the money?
Yeah.
Well, I don't pay. But I'm okay.
Yeah. Yes. Because, like, another thing you said that I wrote down, and I will do a tweet on it later. Another thing that you said that was profound is repent and obey.
Yes.
That's all there is to Christianity, repent and obey. And if you
yes.
ever get to the point that you quit repenting, you're probably backsliding.
Yep.
Because we're always having to repent. He always corrects us. He loves those that he
daily.
Corrects and rebukes. Amen.
Daily. I have to. Because
yes.
if I didn't do anything, I probably bought something. So it's not always deep. Sometimes the very thoughts that we have can give us pause, you know, to repent. We need to repent.
Yes, and one other thing you said, and then I'm going to move on because I have a very important question to ask you, is when you said, after you told us to repent and obey, you said, attach yourself to love, to the love. And I was like, wow, that is so profound because it's true. We have to attach ourselves to God's love, knowing how much He loves us, and that He will never leave us. That love never leaves. Amen.
That's right. And it flows through us, because that's when we become patient and when we become kind and when we allow people to make their mistakes and love them anyway.
Oh, man.
Non-judgmental, you know. It's
yes.
when that love that we have attached ourselves to flows through us, but you can't give what you don't have.
Right.
So we've got to attach ourselves to God's love so that we'll have something to give out.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Dr. Hunter. We ask every guest. Now, if you had 5 minutes to talk to specifically the American bride about current day events, what's going on in our country today, what advice or word of encouragement would you give the bride?
Well, the encouragement that I would give is to stand on God's word. Keep that as your authority. I know a lot of some of our churches have gotten into pop psychology and different things from the pulpit, but the word is so full of richness, and anything we would need to discuss is right there. It's right there. I found that story about JL after I'd read Judges so many times, but I never really paid close attention to what was happening in that story until the time I wrote this little sermon. And so to just stay in the Word, I know it's easy after you've read the Bible several times to think, okay, I've read this so many times. But do another read, especially of certain books that you pay the least attention to, because there are treasures in there. There are treasures that will help you encourage other people, that will encourage you, and to study. And it doesn't always have to be formal study, but study. You can study by yourself. You and the Holy Spirit make a good team studying. And ask to be guided to what you need to really, really focus on. But at the same time, I'd like to issue a warning as well. When we receive spiritual gifts and we gain spiritual knowledge, it is not so that we can set ourselves up as judges, and it is not so that we can reject the very people that Jesus called us to go out and meet. But we have to be really careful, because sometimes pride will creep in and cause a problem. And the very thing that causes us pride also can bring us down. And I see a lot of things going on as a result of that. And so, again, there's an encouragement, but there's always a warning. The purpose for spiritual gifts is so that we can help people, not so that we can put on our pretty robes and act like we've never committed a sin before in our own lives.
That is good. That is a good word. Thank you so much. Now, sister, listen, we ask the bride to come together in agreement with us, because this ministry is based upon prayer. And if you don't mind, we would love to have the honor to pray for you and to pray for your ministry. Amen.
Please. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, bride, if y'all don't mind just bowing your heads and let's come together in agreement for Dr. Hunter, because we know that God brought her on this broadcast for a reason. We believe in our hearts that God brings everybody here and brings them to the forefront for a reason. It's a time of promotion. It's a time of advancement in the kingdom, and we are just coming in agreement with the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So, Lord, we just come together as the bride, Lord, coming together in agreement across the world, Lord, because your word says when two or more agree is touching anything, that prayer will be answered. And we are coming together in agreement for Dr. Hunter, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for her life, Lord, the encouraging life that she has held, Lord, like her being the oldest of 9 children, Lord. You specifically had this woman born into a family to learn how to be a leader from day one. And that's amazing, God, what you have done in her life and how you have used her to change culture. Lord, she is leaving a legacy. And it's an honor today to even talk to her and to have her on the broadcast to share her heart and to share her nuggets of wisdom, Lord. But, Lord, we just give you praise because you did it. You created her story, her life, before time began. You wrote her book. You destined her life to go from A to Z. And I thank you, Lord, for all the struggle she's been through, Lord, all the victory, Lord, that she's been through, everything that she has been through in her life, Lord. We just come together today and say thank you, God, for sending her down here, Lord, to be born for such a time as this. So, Lord, we all come together in agreement, and we say, go forth, sister, into the army of the living God, being all that God has called you to do. Age has nothing to do with our destiny. Our age has nothing to do with what God has called us to do, as we see Mark Sorello, 84 years old, still traveling the world. The man just went on a full trip down in Africa for like a month. So, Lord, we just thank you because you renew our youth like the eagles, Lord. You refresh us. And when you call us to do something, Lord, you empower our bodies. You empower our minds. You empower our spirits, Lord, to be able to do it, God. So we thank you, Lord, and we pray for Dr. Hunter that you give her all the strength in her back to do what she needs to do. We speak healing over her, and we bind up the enemy that would try to bring any sickness or infirmity in her body in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over her, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have called her, Lord, for such a time as this, Lord, and that she shall have everything that you have designed for her to have, Lord. We call down every gift, Lord, that's stored up in heaven for her. We call down every bit of provision, Lord. We call down every tool and every strategy that she's going to need. need, Lord, to accomplish the mission on earth that you have called her to, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you called her, Lord, and we are coming together in agreement with you, Lord. And we just say that it shall be done, and it shall be so in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we just thank you and give you praise, Lord, for this expo coming up, Lord. For bringing all of these authors together, Lord, bringing all of these artists together, Lord, to bless the city of Nashville, Lord. So we thank you, and we put it before you, God, asking you to send angels to go before us, Lord, to work this thing out, Lord, so that we can bless the community and come together, Lord, and strengthen your kingdom, Lord, because it's all about your kingdom, Lord. All of us pulling our strengths together, Lord, pulling our all of our gifts together, Lord, and working together for your glory, because it's all about your glory, Lord. And we thank you and give you honor and praise today, Lord, for everything that she has inspired into the bride today, Lord. And I pray that you send people to support her, to help her, Lord. Send her partners, Lord, people that will hold up her arms, Lord, people that will pray for her. Send her intercessors, Lord. Increase her board, Lord. Increase her visions, Lord. Increase her dreams, Lord. We just speak increase into her life, Lord, in every area, Lord. We refuse to be denied. We refuse to relent, because we are the bride of Christ, and we are victorious, and we are marching forth in your name. And we thank you and give you glory today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, sister, I would love for you to pray for the bride, please.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful day and this wonderful connection. I come before you right now praying that you endow the bride of Christ with the power to speak it into yourself, the power to reset the atmospheres they're doing now. Even greater power, and all the resources that are necessary to move their ministry yet further and further and further. I ask you to bless them going and bless them coming, Father. I ask you to lift them up to be seen as the light of the world, for they are indeed the salt of the earth. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you that you bless Dr. Knight, that you give her all that she needs to do everything that she needs, that her life be just one beautiful life of joy and peace and love, that people love her and not try to persecute her, that people strengthen her and do for her the things that she needs done without even her having to ask. Father, you know better than anybody the contents and designs of her heart. And you said in your word that I will give you the desires of your heart. So we stand on that word right now, Father, because you say that your word does not come back to you void, but it performs that it is sent to do. Therefore, we are standing on the word that you have written in your book for us, your guide for us, the instructions that you have left for us, the words that Jesus spoke for us, every promise, Father, every promise for the good, every good and perfect gift that comes from you, we claim it in the name of Jesus, and we decree and we declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and any tongue that rises up against them, you shall correct yourself on their behalf, Father. So we understand now, we recognize you being the all-sovereign, almighty God, you're in control. You're in control. All we have to do is obey you, speak your word and stand on it, and it shall be so. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, thank you, Jesus. That is an awesome prayer. I just have that song in my spirit. you know, from I minister in the nursing homes, and you know, they all love the songs from the hymnals. But that song that's in my spirit right now is that one, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way." Isn't that something? Trust and obey, that's where it's at. Amen.
That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
Trust and obey. And we know when we don't. You know, we know when we get weak in those areas, and we thank God we have an advocate sitting at the right hand of the Father so that we won't have to be condemned by a misstep.
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, sister, you have a blessed day.
The same to you, my sister. Dr. Knight, it has been a pleasure. It has been an honor for you to allow me to participate in this broadcast. I just feel rejuvenated and re-energized.
Aww.
And I do thank you. It's like some people take medicine. It's like medicine to my spirit.
Yes, amen. And listen, Brian, you will have a chance to meet Dr. Hunter in person at the Nashville Authors and Artists Expo, October 17th. From 11 to 2 is the expo where you can meet these artists and authors. And then from 2 to 3, we will have worship, an intimate time of worship with the Lord. So come out and meet Dr. Hunter. Shake her hand. Give her a hug and say thank you for encouraging us on the radio. Amen. All right, sister. Well, you have a blessed day, and God bless you.
God bless you likewise. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.